Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we preview some new pedals that will debut on at NAMM this year. In studio, we have Ricky Z, a session guitarist, touring musician, and producer, who has played with the likes of Josh Groban, Jessica Simpson, and Steve Lukather. Also in studio with us, we welcome back our good friend Ron Marino. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flo to the Izzo Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We got a great show for you tonight. We're going to be listening to some interesting pedals, and we're going to get some news on some new breaking pedals that will be debuting at NAMM. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, and you know, the folks might be hearing some playing in the background. That's the folks here in the studio getting things ready, which is fine. We don't mind them tweaking and having fun. So I guess what I've been doing, I've been arranging all kinds of meetings for NAMM, getting ready for NAMM, which is really a week and a half away now. So we have meetings with Martin Taylor. As I mentioned before, we're doing an interview with Paul Reed Smith himself.
Yes.
Orange Amps, Wampler pedals, EHX pedals, Jim Dunlop, Yamaha, and many more. I can't think of all of them, but that's the ones that that I can think of right off the top of my head that we're meeting with, and it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, also, I just confirmed Oxygen Amps, and I'm hoping to meet Jim Chemo West over at Taylor. He might play something. We might be able to get some video of him playing those new Taylors.
Yeah, we have that time for Taylor, so let him know when we'll be there.
So, it's going to be the problem I think we're going to have is getting everywhere. There's just so much already from what we've looked at the schedule. It's book solid, and there's so much more to look at.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's, you know, if for those of you out there, just stay tuned to my YouTube channel, at Selenium. That'll be where the videos will start getting posting. I just thought of another one, Audio Technica and Gibson.
Yes.
Those are new ones. Well, Audio Technica we had met with last year, and then the Rat Pro Crow or whatever, a Ratco pedal.
Yeah.
So I'll be meeting with those folks, too. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
So, but it'll be fun. We'll have sore feet after.
I just thought of that one. GoPro. That's another one we're going to.
So, but anyway, let's go ahead and go to commercial, and then we have a great show. There's a lot to look at here in studio and also talk about. So let's go ahead and go to commercial. When we get back, we're going to talk to Ricky Z and Ron about some new stuff that's coming out.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here from Sweetwater. We're super happy to support Jeff and Scott and the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show on LA Talk Radio. You can see all the specs and pics of your favorite gear and amazingly low prices online at sweetwater.com or call us at 800-222-4700. Every week, Jeff and Scott welcome heavy experts and industry mavens exploring the coolest guitars and basses, pedals, amps, strings, accessories, everything you need to rock. Sweetwater sells all that cool stuff, so listen to the Flow and then check it out online at sweetwater.com or call one of our pro guitar enthusiasts at 800-222-4700. Don't forget that Sweetwater has 24 months equal payments, no interest financing available too. Check that out at the bottom of every Sweetwater webpage where it says easy financing and hit the red apply now button. Thanks for listening. This is Kenny Burgle and Sweetwater saying rock on with the Flow.
Thank you. Hey, this is Brian Wampler with Wampler Pedals, and you're listening to Jeff and Scott on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast.
I thought it would be I played that to remind you that we also have to talk to Brian Wampler also at the show.
Yeah, that's another one that I have arranged. So,
but anyway, Brian, he's got some great pedals too. But let's get right into it. I got two amazing guys here. Ron, who's been with us several times already and has always been turning us on to new stuff. Welcome. It's good to have you back on.
Thank you.
And Richie Z, a producer and a session guy. And we were hearing him warm up, and it was pretty amazing.
Oh, very kind. So,
It's great to have you on the show. It's really an honor to have you here.
Thanks for the flow.
Hey, now, let's get into it a little bit. What... Yeah. First of all, let me do this first. Let's go a little bit so everybody knows who you are. Get a little more. I mean, I posted a little bit up on the Facebook page. But give us a little bit about your background and stuff, because you've played with a lot of amazing people. I mean, I was looking at there's a list of them, and I couldn't even. I listed about five or six, and there's way bunch of people you've been playing with.
I've been pretty fortunate. You know, folks suffer me pretty well, so as long as they let me make some noise with them, I'm happy. So like you mentioned before, Lukather, and that's just like a dream come true, because every kid, including this one here, grew up listening to all that stuff. And so when I got the call to go and throw down with him for 2 years, it was like, let's go. And it blasted.
How did you get into the session scene?
Oh, wow. I had gotten out of college and some buddies had started to move out this way, and they started producing things. So they would call me. And when I came in, I started meeting more folks, and then more folks. And it actually came from some buddies who I met that were producing Spanish language records. They were doing the pop stuff. And we started doing a lot of work, and it started to spread out from there. And from there, I started to get, you know, more of the, I think the first call we got was like Nick Lachey. The first pop,
gig,
you know, and then that led to Jessica.
Where are you originally from?
I grew up like an hour from here in Fontana, California.
Oh, okay. So you're
in Hagar land.
Oh, okay. That's right. Oh, okay. Yeah. So then it just kind of built from
there. Yeah, it just built and kept going. So I'm happy if it keeps rolling.
Well, your credits are impressive. So obviously you're doing something right. It's pretty amazing.
Sorry, is that me?
Oh, ringtone, baby.
Wow, I'm sorry. I have not done that ever.
Well, it's
party pal.
Sorry, I guess I now have to pay some royalties to Stevie Ray Vaughan.
There you go.
Which is fine. So
anyway, okay. Well, let's get into the NAMM, because we're all going to be going to NAMM. And Ron, I kind of give us a little bit of an overview of what you're seeing. Now, you've been dealing with a lot of different lines of product and stuff, and especially the stuff that you're bringing in tonight. But what do you see? What do you think is going to be the trend? What do you think is going to be happening at NAMM?
You know, I saw released a few things with trade magazines as of late, and I didn't see anything entirely really new. You know, with the pedal thing, I think it'll continue as is. Some of the stuff's getting a little smaller, but... I think most of the analog guys have to stick to a certain footprint anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think more of that. I think the newer stuff we'll probably see in the digital world, and which I don't have a pulse on that much. So, but there's going to be a lot of new things as Orange is going to release some new things, a couple of things that we have here, and some of the things that were supposed to be sent to us that are not here. You'll be able to see them at the show as well.
There's a pedal that he's going to talk about in a second that truly is in the mail. It's like a check's in the mail. It is in the mail. It just didn't make it in time.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Actually, let's just start with that.
It's typical. We're going to our trade show, which is the largest one for us here in the States. And prior to the show, everyone is scrambling to finish their new product and get it right before we actually go to the show. So it's no different from a couple new guys that we have with us. But there'll be new product from Big Joe Stomp Company. Mm-hmm. And we're going to feature one of the two, one of which is called an Empire. It's their overdrive, two preamp and one pedal. And the other one is the Johnny Winter pedal, which they started to work with Johnny. And that wanted to continue the project after he passed. So that pedal will be showcased at the NAMM show, and we will have it here soon enough for you guys to try it as well.
Yeah, that was the one that we were hoping to get to bring in.
I think the guys that designed it with Johnny went through about 30 different pedals with him and various things that he did in the past and started to tweak what he had in his head, and they came up with this pedal, which we'll have for us soon to hear.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you do have the Empire with this. Why don't we just dig into it? And
the Empire is from Big Joe or BB?
That is a Big Joe.
Big Joe, okay.
Yeah. We also brought today, just a point of reference, we brought the BBE Benoit, which I brought because there was a lot of discussion, as some of the guys know, with some of the threads for the gear pages, and that was a huge one. And then we brought the BBE Sonic Stomp, which is something that people are familiar with and guys have used, but on pedal form, I think a lot of guys should try it out.
And I should mention those are available at Sweetwater.
At Sweetwater, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The talking about the what's the name? The Sonic Stomp. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this earlier before the show. I remember the rack mount version of that, and we use that a lot in the studio just to enhance. It's an enhancer, I think, is technically the name.
Well, it's. I guess, you know, it allows the frequencies from the top to the bottom to come out at the same time. So really you have to just check it out and use your ear and see if you like it. And I found it to be a great tool for acoustic instruments. The last thing you put on your pedal board for the electric stuff or bass or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it actually works quite well. And I think guys should give it a shot and try it and see what they think. It's not supposed to be a huge difference. It's just supposed to clean
it's a
up.
Subtle thing, but it does bring out it makes it sparkle a little
absolutely.
Bit as they say.
Yeah.
Actually, we have it here, so why don't we just go ahead and have Ricky play a little bit, and we can show, see if people can hear the difference.
The first pedal that we'd probably try is the Empire, and the Empire is two preamps into the pedal. You can alter the first A channel or the B channel being your first of two channels, so you can select one or the other. In this case, I think we did B, but we'll turn it on and just let Rick go and see what we get.
Okay. Yeah. And then Rick, before you play, tell us what guitar you're using and about what's on there.
Okay, this is my pride and joy. It's a 2009 T-Bone LSL Tele from LSL over here in they're now in Santa Clarita.
Yeah, Lance, great guy.
It's
great guy.
Incredible. And this guitar is just. It's so incredible to the fact that, well, they take such love and care into construction. But you basically are able to design your child. You know, what woods do you want? What neck radius? And it just made just kind of a dumbbell. You know, Alex will make an amp just the way you want it. And Lance does the same thing. And just hearing it acoustically.
It really
And I assume that's been reliced, unless you've just played the hell out of it.
Well, this is a pine.
So, but it was reliced when you bought it? Okay, because I was going to say otherwise you tore
that
out
over the past year. How about amplifier for the reference? That way we can let everybody know what the amplifier is. Rick, what's your amplifier?
It's a 1965 Silvertone 1482. Hello.
Yes. Let's turn it on and just hear the guitar and the amp direct so you get your reference point. But listen to this guitar, these pickups. And Lance makes those. He makes everything on that guitar. That's just the guitar and the amp.
You might need to turn the level a little bit down.
Okay, let me bring him up a little bit.
No, down. It was...
Okay. Okay, well, let's take a listen to this
Empire
pedal.
All right, let's turn on the Empire. Hold on.
Okay, he's turned on the B overdrive. There's two, A and B. He just switched to what they call the sponge switch, which kind of gives it that, like, that loose type of tube. Okay, now he's switching to the A. He's tweaking some of the different parameters. And now he's switching them both in series. Now he's on B. And everything off, that's direct. So you can hear, and also too, you notice that that guitar, the LSL, has a character to it. And the tone of it is very distinctive. With the overdrive, he's getting the dirt, but it still retains that timbre of that guitar that makes it so...
The woodiness comes through.
Yeah, it still comes through.
That's something about the pedal, too, because the pedal allows the tone of the instrument to come through. You know, you mm-hmm. want a certain transparency to come through with your instrument. You don't want it to be completely colored when you hit the switch, and then it's a different thing altogether. So that's also a tale of the pedal being good, because you want to hear the guitar.
Yeah.
So Ricky, why don't you, since we're demoing that pedal right now, why don't you grab your SG so we can hear a humbucker through that.
Pop. Oh, no. That was relatively painless.
Okay. You want me to hold that? Or
please. Okay. And handoff.
Oh, darn, I get to check this out.
Beautiful. That's a killer.
Congrats.
Yeah. He just did that so that he could try that neck. I know Scott too well.
This is nice. This is like...
Now,
okay, give us a little... Be loving to pass over the...
Now, Ricky has an SG here. What year is that?
This is a 2004, I think, is the 61 reissue.
61 reissue.
Yeah,
okay.
And Seymour was kind enough to put in a pair of the Antiquity ones.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It's got, it doesn't have the standard SG pickups.
No, there's nothing left.
There's nothing left. That's
we changed the capacitors, changed the tone pots, and Seymour has his pickups in there. So
okay. Wow. So what we'll do after he's tuning it up and tweaking it, what we'll do is we'll try it straight so we can hear it through the amp.
We'll do that, and then what we could do is go to one of the channels of the Empire again, and then I'll throw on the maximizer to hear just what it does with that particular pedal.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. All right. Just kicked in the sonic stomp. It's off now. Okay, it's off. It's on. You can hear it just gives it a little bit more sparkle and articulation to it. Now he's using both overdrives are in series with the sonic on. Now he's just got the B on. Now he just kicked in the phaser.
I'm just waiting for Ricky to play. I mean, that's I'm just kidding. This is sick what you're doing. I mean, I'm just
I'm just a Carter's guy, really.
I like what I'm hearing over here. That's good.
Just clean and then with a sonic stop.
Okay. So he's playing. This is the SG straight.
On the rhythm pickup. And now we're both.
Basically, Ron, what's happening is it's kind of time aligning the high frequency and low frequencies.
You could say that technically. I
mean, I know it's a patented thing.
Yeah.
It's, But and I always equated it to like an Aphex. It was similar to that type of thing, though it's
a little different
process.
Yeah.
But it basically just gave it a little bit more life and a little breath to it, a little air to it. So
that's that's a good way to put it. It's because it, you know, it makes it maybe a little more three dimensional.
Try it right now with the phaser, because the phaser kind of brings out the mid range, and I think the Sonic will enhance that a little bit. So go ahead and turn the Sonic off. Okay, this is the straight guitar. Now he's going to put the phaser on. Okay, you can hear a little bit of the phaser going. Okay, now he's going to hit the Sonic. It kind of brings out that shift. Now, we should mention, Ron, a little bit. Give us a little bit more info on the phaser. We've been using it, but we didn't really describe what it is.
That particular phaser, you know, I don't know internally what they've done. It's one of my favorites that I've heard in terms of a classic phaser. Typically, you hear a lot of them, and it's almost too much of, you know, that what it is. But this one's real musical. It's one of my favorites that I've heard. And
one's from Big Joe.
Yeah, and they have a series of other overdrives that they, you know, you'd have to listen to really find out which one you like. But there's about four of them, so you'd have to take a listen.
And it has a depth and a
you got speed, depth, feedback, and then the mix.
So can you tell us a little bit about the company Big Joe? I mean, I've always seen them. I just don't know a whole bunch about them.
The concept around the company was around Big Joe Williams, who was a Chicago guitar player but played a 7-string. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kind of formulated the idea around it. But the pedals, of course, are not blues pedals, but they do everything. So they'll come out with a new series for the show that are going to be less expensive. These are all the U.S. ones. So they're going to have an offshore series, I believe, for more of a $99 price point, likely. But they also are going to come out with a new power box. The one that we're using now is the one that they have, but they're going to come out with a larger series for a power supply. So that will be available as well, as long as, and with the Johnny Winter, too. So a few new things from them.
Yeah. And this one has the 18-volt as well.
Yeah, on the... Cool. That's on the, yeah, the, for the Empire, he wants 18 volt. Yeah, it'll run, I think, on 9 or 12 or 18, but we got it in the 18 of the power supply.
And that power supply, every input switchable. So you can.
That's kind of a neat feature. So typically in some of the power supplies, if you wanted 18 volt, you'd have to combine two 9s with the cable, right? And then I lost an output.
Yeah.
But in this case, you just hit the switch. You could do two 9s, and they have a sag feature for two of them. There's 12, and, of course, you could take two 12s and make it 24.
So you can each one's switchable from 9, 12, and 18?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it nice, and the LED will tell you of what you got going on, so you could visually see what's happening for each output. So it's really, really slick.
And I assume they're all individually grounded.
Yes. Yeah.
So okay.
Yeah.
How many inputs does this?
That's eight isolated.
And the new one's going to be.
He's bigger. I don't know if it's 10 or 12, but I haven't
seen it.
You need that for a pedal board if you're doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That should be pretty good. Well, the other thing that you brought from BBE, and there's a little interesting side story, is the BBE Benoit.
Yeah.
So can you give us a little bit of this? An interesting story about that, and then we also will demo that, too.
You know, I brought that basically to let the, you know, if the guys in the gear page were following the Vertex thread and what happened with the Vertex wah. In fact, it was a BBE circuit that was in his wah-wah, which is a while now because he's rectified that. But that was a $300 wah, which everybody liked. And it happened to be this particular circuit. And BBE didn't really make any big deal of it because they took it as a compliment to what the job that they did, because many great players thought it sounded great. So we brought it to...
Well, what was kind of going a little bit into the story so we get an idea.
Right. The Vertex or previous model was using this particular BBE circuit, and he had changed the look of it. But in fact,
it was basically the same circuit.
Yeah, and he didn't disclose that information at the time. So when it was found out, it became a big deal, and you know, the guy had some issues, and you know, it was a little bit of a problem. But in BBE side of it, it was something that, you know, they thought, hey, you know, we did a pretty good job with this particular one. So for $149 as opposed to $300. It's a pretty good value on a great sounding wall.
Yeah, and this you can get this at Sweetwater. I'm looking at the Sweetwater site mm-hmm. right now. It's $149. It's in stock. Let's go ahead and take a listen to it.
And correct me wrong before we play. This is one of the ones we'll be giving away over the next 2 weeks.
You've got this to give away, and we're going to give the Sonic Stomp away too.
Cool. So I should get that up and going. We're hoping to give that away on the show in 2 weeks, which will be our post NAMM show with Mitch Gallagher.
Mitch Gallagher of Sweetwater.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so stay tuned for that. We'll be announcing that. But let's take a listen to this wall. I'm curious about this.
So the other thing we should mention on this wah is it's got a knob on the side that will change the character of it. So I think right now we've kind of got in the middle. It's a little bit to the left. I'll put it in the middle, which is their I guess, starting point.
Right.
And then I can go down and I can start all the way from left and just go.
Yeah. There you
so.
Go.
And I just want to mention that, Ricky, that's the fastest foot. I've listened to a lot of Ottawas, but...
Yeah, grew up in Fontana. You had to be quick.
He's quick, man.
All right, so give us, this is the recommended or the middle starting point.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Cool. Sound what you're going to play, kid.
Okay.
So now I'll go all the way to left and just start panning.
There you go.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
I just want to mention that you just put in the phaser with it to kind of give it a little more character.
So that's all the way to the right now. So maybe I can do like all the way to the right and then all the way to the left. So give me all the way to the right, same lick, and we'll go all the way to the back to the left. To the left. That's the middle. And that's all the way to the right.
He's in Channel B of the Empire right now.
And the Sonics is on, too. Now, it's interesting. It's got a nice, like a funk type of... It's got more like a funky type of wah sound mm-hmm. as opposed to the standard crybaby type of thing. It's a little... It's got a nice little funkier bump.
Yeah, all the way to the left, it's got that more of a vox kind of feel to it. But then, you know, as Scott could turn it more to the right, then it passed Crybaby, and then it got to like a mid bump, you know, somewhere around, you know, 200 to 300 hertz sound.
Yeah. And we're using the Telecaster this time.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
And one nice feature it's got on there that, besides the ability to change the tone, is for me, I personally like this, but it has an LED on it when it's on, which
helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only other one I've seen that has that, I think Slash has a LED.
Well, the other one from Bob Bradshaw.
The Bob Bradshaw.
And then there's a ton of ways to modify your pedals to add that LED.
It's those little things when you have on a pedal board and at night it's dark on stage. It's nice to know that the little light that goes on. But that thing has a lot of possibilities and a lot of character to it. It's kind of very interesting.
It's really useful.
It's very musical.
Nothing annoying about it. You know, even when it goes on the very high end of it, it doesn't make it screech. It's real musical.
Yeah. Now you're playing it. How is the throw of the pedal? Is it real
bad.
Smooth?
The throw's pretty smooth. It's comfortable. You know, I can go.
I mean, I heard you go fast with that thing. That's
Which, you know, it's pretty smooth for that. You know,
yeah.
That
Leslie
that's, thing.
Yeah. I mean, even my Vox, my ankle would be sore trying to go that fast.
By the way, I really like this neck on this SG.
Isn't that just killer, Diller? Yeah. Straight out of the box, I kid you not.
Really?
Nothing structurally was done to it.
So 2001, so you've had
just the pickups. Yeah, just the pickups.
Just the pickups and the caps and the potentiometers.
but the rest of the guitars.
The rest of the guitars. Woo!
Yeah, Scott, you do have to give that guitar back. Yeah, I know. You're kind of like holding. He's getting in the corner there, and
okay, Ron's going to fight you for it.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. This BBE wah is really, really, really nice.
Well, lots of guys thought so as well. So that's why I figured, you know, it might be a nice reminder to let people know it's around. And for the money, it's killing.
Yeah, $149. It's competitive. That's a good price.
And it's not that difficult to engage.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's true bypass, too, right?
Yeah. I think all these pedals are true bypass, right?
Yeah.
No, that's true. What other pedals does BBE have?
Ooh, they've got an array of things, actually. They've got a tremolo. They've got the Soul Vibe, which is their Univibe. They've got a distortion. They've got an overdrive.
Are they still making the optical compressor?
Yep, the Opticomp. And they have a booster, of course. They got about 10 or 12 pedals. So,
yeah. Now, do you know of any new ones coming out from them?
No, nothing new. Nothing.
Well, what can you tell us about BBE? What's their situation? What's their company? I mean, tell us about that company.
BBE purchased G&L quite a few years ago, so they integrate kind of the technology portion of what BBE is all about with the human side of where G&L guitars came from Leo Fender. Mm-hmm. So they're, from a musician standpoint, they were able to cross the technologies and be able to combine those two things in the stuff that they produce. So it's a pretty good mix.
Are there pedals made here in the U.S. or somewhere else?
Those are offshore.
Offshore. Mm-hmm. And who designs them? Who's the main designer of BBE?
The main designer, I believe, was Paul Gagan, which was one of their main engineers, and also a guy named Dave Chavez, I believe. So he also helped, and they did a good job.
No, they're clean pedals. They're really, really good. Mm-hmm. I like them. Now, getting back to NAMM, what else? Can you give us some hint about... I know some of the companies don't want to mention anything until NAMM, so
yeah.
I understand. But is there anything you can tell us about some of the other things that you heard?
We know that we've got a couple new products from One Control coming, which we've had here at the show. Mm-hmm. And one of them is, I think, an expansion on the OC10, which was the big looper switcher. Mm-hmm. But it will be more MIDI compatible to be able to do more MIDI functions, mm-hmm. which was one of the things that the guys asked for. You know, it's been around a few years, those products. So a lot of guys have been able to tour with it, use it session-wise, and they mm-hmm. were able to take that info the last year or two, and now they're coming out with new products to integrate some of the new things that they asked. Mm-hmm. So you'll see anything from new overdrive pedals from them, which we didn't have here because we looked at the utility stuff.
Right.
But they'll also have new loop switchers and some other devices that we'll see at the show.
Are you going to see a trend towards more loops, a bigger pedal, or just is it better just to have the little ones and you can gang them or something? Or?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's a little bit trend now where we're kind of downsizing our pedal boards in some cases, you know. So the pedals might be getting a little bit smaller, and, you know, here and there. But overall, I think, you know, it just depends on what the guy's doing.
Yeah. Well, Ricky, let me ask you that. Now, I'm sure that in some of the sessions that you do, you bring your own pedal board now, right? You probably don't use a rack system or a...
No, I've not really used that forever and ever and ever. I've been using the rack, well, I've used the racks like in the late 90s and such. Mm-hmm. And such. That was about the time I kind of put them back and got the pedals out again. Pedals which, like, you know, we've had sitting around forever and ever because we store these things. And so, like downstairs, because I just came from movie date, I had the medium pedal board, which is, oh gosh, I'd say about a good,
About three feet?
So it's like a pedal board pro or something?
No, it's one, put it together myself.
Oh, okay.
And it's with, from A&S cases. And
oh, okay.
And because there's I had a thing before the date, and I didn't want to take the real big one. But the real big one is about almost the size of the table, which is a good five feet.
So you have so much for downsizing. So I've got to retract that one.
But the little guy I take around town is just a small, you know, like.
Little guy.
It's a little that's T-Rex.
So,
still.
So he has a little T-Rex one that's like maybe a foot and a half or.
Yeah.
So on the big one, how many pedals do you have on that?
Okay, now here's the thing. It doesn't matter what size the pedal board is. I always, always have satellites. So the big one has a good about maybe 17 pedals. But there's still going to be a couple guys in front. And those same fries will go whether I take that one or the medium-sized board or my small board. They're always going to be about three, sometimes four pedals in front of that, no matter what.
So your primary pedal that you got to have, that comes with whatever.
Yes, exactly. No matter what, it always goes. This goes, that goes, that goes, and I put that in front.
So with that pedal board that big, mm-hmm. tell us how you've got it set up buffer-wise. I mean, you've got to have some sort of buffer.
Okay, the big
that
one,
one,
yeah,
that
the large one is the only one that with a buffer. The super big table-sized one has a large buffer system that attempts, because on that one I have like old MXR Base 45.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, killer dealer, but yeah. Suck away all your tone, as well as the Arion, but not without one without the mod. So that and an old MXR envelope filter. So all those guys go through a buffered loop. And so the signal comes through the buffer anyway, mm-hmm. and they just come in and out. So that buffer comes by about a third of the way through the signal chain, because mm-hmm. that's when all the time delay effects start to come in. So it starts out with, say, a wah, and then my distortion devices.
Oh, okay. So wah, distortion.
Distortion device. Well, I'm lying. Wah, univibe.
Oh,
then
okay.
distortion, because it doesn't want to be behind any. I don't care who says what. Whenever they make these, go, oh, this you know, the univibe sounds great, you know, after any kind of distortion. Not really. They all get real nasally. So it goes the wah, you know, volume pedal, that kind of stuff, to univibe. Then from there, it goes to distortion, and then compression, then
oh, wow.
time delay.
That's I'm surprised.
So you have the compressor later, and that's interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
Yeah, I never put them together with the
But you've never felt like with the Univibe, your phaser or flanger, you don't put that before the distortion?
No.
Like if you were plugging into an amp, you know, you do it after? You
I found that for the things I am doing, they like the storage signal more. And if I put them before the distortion devices, you end up losing gain, I found.
Okay.
So I'll usually have those set up before, and then after that's when it starts the time delay signal chain.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have the Ottawa, your phaser, your chorus and stuff. Then that's going to go to my, you know, delays and any kind of stretch
right.
looper guys.
And what kind of distortion do you use?
Oh, God. Man, what day is it? Oh. It's, you know, we're seriously.
Oh, so you can change stuff on the pedal board pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm all constantly swapping them out in and out. Got stuff there. Some of the mud honey's been kind of nice to me lately.
Mm-hmm.
The T-Rex mud honey's been nice, and I also just came back with a Carl Martin, the blue Ranger. It's been nice, but I always end up taking an Analog Man Sunface.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah, and an old Ibanez Tube Screamer, like in 1982, 83, that Analog Man did his magic to. And that, from there, goes to like the old Prescription Electronics Experience pedal, which has a great fuzz, even if you don't use the Octavia in it. So, but that, and in front, I'll always have a Dynaranger, divided by 13 Dynaranger treble booster.
And okay.
Yeah, and I'll use that if I'm doing a situation where, like, I'm taking a small amp here, and it's going to be real quiet on stage or such, I'll just use a distortion box as my amp. You know, the amp's starting to break up, and then when I want to really go into any kind of over-the-top, you know, singing sound, mm-hmm. I'll hit the treble booster on top of that. And then,
okay.
And I just take it right back off.
The now your bare bones, your basic little guy, the little pedal board. What do you have on there?
Okay, baby starts off little Boss tuner, the Mud Honey. Yeah, the Mud Honey. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Mud Honey, and then the blue Boss chorus. Remember those guys?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's still on there. I don't know. Our relationship is a bit strained at this moment, but he's still there. And from there, it goes to Voodoo Labs tremolo, feeding over to an old TC chorus. Special
Stereo flanger.
Yeah, that's really cool. Mm. And then from there into a T-Rex Tremonti phaser, which I use mostly just for like
this
a
super. This is not sounding thing. Like a small pedal board.
Then from there it goes into a T-Rex, one of the delays. It's a delay. I can't recall the name. It's orange.
Actually, what he's talking about, because he's not mentioning a wah or volume pedal or something.
That's
like that.
A satellite. To me, that's a satellite. Okay. Because I may use it, I may not. Because
that, what he's mentioning there, those pedals will fit on a smaller board.
Yeah, but it's like usually, six pedals. That's still quite a few pedals.
Yeah, but you could put three and three, and it could still be like a foot and a little over a foot and a half.
Yeah, yeah, and it doesn't weigh
those
much
of anything.
Those
aren't big pedals. It's the volume pedal and the wah. I mean, on my pedal board, I have the volume and the wah on there, and it's huge. Yeah, that takes up a lot of real estate.
I have a Univibe with an Expression, which makes
that's
it
a third
even
one. Yeah, that's a third
those
one.
Those things weigh.
I don't know why I did that, but I did. It's fun anyhow. But so on the Univibe, out of curiosity, which Univibe are you using?
Okay, I've got the old pedal board, which is a super large table size guy, the Jimmy Dunlop one.
Okay,
And then
that's the silver box.
Yeah, silver box one.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks. Same
the
thing
with the pedal, the Expression.
Yes.
Pedal.
Yeah. Weighs more than a bad marriage.
Yeah,
man.
That's what I have.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, I tell you. And then everything else I've been using the Megavibe.
Oh, okay.
But now he makes the same exact pedal sounds marvelous, the same thing, but it's only half the real estate size.
Which one is that then?
The Megavibe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so
well, the new Dunlop Univibe I really like, actually better than my original big fat Univibe.
Oh, okay.
It's got a lot more range to it.
The Hendrix one?
Well, it's the same one, the Hendrix.
Right.
And then the one they released last year, which is the silver kind of old classic looking one. But, yeah, it's
basically
nice.
The same. Nice. The other one that's interesting, we should check out at the show, is the Korg. I forget. It's not called Univibe.
It's
called
something. The Nuvibe.
The Nuvibe, but it's actually made by the guy that originally made the original Univibe. Same guy from Japan. And evidently the rumor was that the schematics that they had released at the time, there was one of the values were off, or a couple of values were off. So a lot of the clones that were made later on were actually inaccurate. They were using the circuit wasn't exactly the same. But this new vibe is supposed to be tweakable, much more tweakable, but still the classic sound. It's not little. It's kind of a big pedal.
It's as big as the original, the box, and then it even comes as an Expression pedal.
Well, that was the cool thing about, like, say, all the 70s MXR pedals. You know, they were just flying by the seats of their pants, seriously. They're just mismatching tolerances on the different components inside, but that gave them this really cool sound.
Yeah.
And you can't get that when all the tolerances on all the capacitors are all matched. It just doesn't sound the same.
I'm just amazed you're using a Phase 45 because almost everybody was using the Phase 90.
Yeah.
And it's a lighter sound.
It's a lighter sound. It's a lot thinner, but it gets that whole great, you know, the Love Hurts thing. Mm-hmm. Love that sound, but it's a lighter thing. It doesn't sound like any of my other phasers. So.
Yeah.
So, Ricky, what do you use when you go to a session? What do you normally bring guitar-wise, electric and acoustic?
Okay. Electric, I usually end up showing up because you just never know what else you're going to be looking at. So I'm usually showing up with at least, you know, four electrics. So it's going to have that tele goes. I'll take a Strat. I'll take either my Les Paul, 76 Les Paul, this SG, or lately I've been taking around a Gretsch Duo Jet.
New, nice.
Yes, which has a TV Jones pickups in it. And I'll, in lieu of taking these guys, I'll take that one. And then I'll have, if I have to take the slide stuff, I'll usually take my Jerry Jones Dan Electro thing. And an old Dan Electro that I've had strung up for a high string kind of Nashville thing. So because mm-hmm. you just never know when you're going to have to layer that stuff.
And what do you bring acoustic?
Acoustically, I'll take my standalone. This guy always works. I've had this Takamine acoustic. Sounds brilliant. When you mic it up, it sounds incredible. It's right when they change the preamps from the orange ones to the blue ones. Mm-hmm. The preamp is even live is like, oh, it's a little bit of a struggle. But acoustically, it sounds incredible. Hmm. Then I'll take a lot of times, Lou will take my 12 string. I'll take a tres, Lone Star makes them. Mm-hmm. They make them in Huaracho in Mexico, but they sell them out of this company in Texas. And you can really make that thing sound like a 12-string, but it has a little different kind of tinge to it. Mm-hmm. And so people like that because the voicing is different. I mean, the thing is, it's tuned to C. That's you get G, C, and E. So you're going to have different combinations of notes. So I take that along. I'll take along I have a really cool Ryotsu Matsuoka nylon that I picked up in like 1983 or so, and a Takamine nylon as well. And then after that, if they ask me for things, oh, please bring, you know, the baritone, or can you bring the banjo? Mm-hmm.
So when you bring this many guitars for those of the people that might be interested in doing session, do you just bring them all in the studio? Do you keep them in your car? I mean, how do you do that where you feel comfortable bringing that many guitars?
Well, it's a different world now, because hardly anyone's paying cartage anymore. Mm-hmm. So we'll work that actually into the price for the session. Well, you know what? I'll bring the extra gear, and we'll do this for cartage. And I'll take them all in with me. A while back, I was doing this this movie date, and I can't remember called it the composer's name, but he's a guy who did Spider-Man, and we had,
oh, Danny Elfman.
No, it's Christopher
Young.
Young, thank you. Because, you know, brain cells, whatever's left,
okay,
I don't know.
No.
And walked good. In and brought all the stuff in. And I had no idea, but it ended up being that movie Sleepwalking. And it had this kind of Western vibe to it. And I had everything, including, thank you, Lord Jesus above, I took my Electro-Harmonics Holy Grail pedal with me.
Ah.
You know, I just throw it in there anyway. And sure enough, that was the vibe of it. So we're going there, and we're playing all these cues with everything. Just trying guitars, like left and right. And he comes back, and he goes out, and he comes back, and he comes out, and he comes, and he goes, man, you know, this sounded great, but can you give me some more, I don't know, make it sound, whoa. That's a quote. Maybe I can make sound. I'm thinking, reverb. And he said, yeah, kind of a swampy wah. And then I think, oh, cool. So I get the Holy Grail out and put it to the spring. Hit that pedal. Goes, that's it. Great. We're set. Let's go. Let's just do all these cues straight out. And it was just because of that. You know, thank God. If he would have just said Chris Isaac, I would have known right off the bat. But that pedal is what, because I had it there.
You had it there, yeah.
And here's the deal. The guy that came in before me showed up with a pod. A pod. Well, come on. Line six.
Line six pod.
Pod.
Really? You're going to walk into a movie date with a pod? Really?
Wow.
It's like, wow, okay, that's a short life span, you know, as far as career goes. And so the guy, the manager looked around and goes, thank you for breaking the gear. Because then they're able to do what they need to do.
Right.
It takes a little effort, but it's worth it, and it's what we do.
What amps do you use?
Okay, this guy is like the first amp I ever had. in my, since, you know, I was like 12 years old, and revitalized it, revamped it, and brought it back to life. I use that thing all the time.
All the time.
It goes with me everywhere. As well as I'll take like a divided by 13 GRT 915. And it's just incredible. And I also have the ERT 33 that I take with me. Depending on what the vibe is going to be, I'll take along my, I have a 68 super 100 watt tremolo plexi, which goes.
Okay.
I have an old high watt 100 watt head that'll go with me. My Bandmaster, that's a 65 Bandmaster that goes. And the either the Bandmaster or my 65 Vox AC50.
Yeah. What vehicle do you drive?
You're free.
No, dude, the Leslie.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
On the car you get when they playing up, the Leslie goes.
So clearly you're driving Suburban.
Oh no! I got this, you know, this little Mini Cooper.
Yeah. Of course.
Now, when you
has
do
wheels
the,
on the bottom.
Doing the movie dates, does this little amp, is that enough for most of it, movie or do you intend to bring the
movie dates? It's going to be this guy.
Okay.
Because they're not looking for, you know, oh, can you give me Pete Townsend? And then turn around and go, okay, now give me Angus Young. So this, with my pedals, I can get anything I need to.
Do they ever have you just go direct?
No.
Oh, okay.
They tried it once. Thank God it wasn't working. There's something wrong with the Pro Tools system they're using, and it wouldn't work. Because I had the 60, it was a commercial for Disney, and it was a kind of a jump swing thing. Mm-hmm. And I had a 65 basement right in the hall. Mic'd up, woo, jumping, skipping, had the telly going through it. We're all happy. And the composer goes, gee, you know, think we might be able to get another line direct. Yeah, I might want to change, you know, put another amp on there or something. You know, just switch it on later. I'm going, really? This is like the jump school vibe. And thank God it didn't work. They couldn't make it work. And so it goes, oh, well, you know what? Yeah, well, this is the sound anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Playing
no, I've heard. I remember that we'd do some of the sessions. They would always take a direct out of it, so they could reamp later.
I've been lucky.
No, that's good. But that amp sounds great. It's got a lot of character to it.
Yeah,
and it's got a vintage 30. You said in it.
Yeah, it has a vintage 30 because it was a little bit too. I like the lo-fi thing about it, but it was too lo-fi.
Right.
So I really couldn't get any highs out of it, you know, for anything, and I wanted to get a little bit more headroom out of it, and. We recapped it a bit. It still wasn't great. Took out the speaker, stuck that puppy in there, and I'm not the biggest fan of the you know, the vintage 30s. They can be really biting at around 2K.
Right.
A lot of my vintage 30s have been replaced by the Eminence Governors because it is softer. Mm-hmm. But for this amp, it worked perfect.
May I suggest you take a look at the new Celestion A-Type? I think you might really like it.
And then for
more than my G1265?
I don't know. It's an extremely portable speaker, but it's awesome.
Those go well with the Dumble type amp. You know, so.
For live, what do you use?
Live. Okay, here's live. Depending on the date, I've taken this little amp and my 9 watt 915 divided by 13 and stuck that up. They mic them up and they're great. A lot of things from my thing, the blue thing I do, I have a Brown Note OD100, and I'll take that along with a Buddha Superdrive 30, and then I run those two stereo, and then sometimes I'll have the Bandmaster in the middle running the Leslie.
Oh, okay. So, and you're using what type of Leslie? Is it the Fender type?
It's
with
the Fender one, yeah.
I have the Cordovox one, which is the same, but it's that one little 10-inch. But I put an Altect in there, and it screams.
Oh, nice. With that Altect, it'll give you the nice, you know, the high-end.
It's a 75-watt, but you know Altects are real efficient.
Yeah.
So that with a basement on the top, it just gets... It's the sound.
Spang, dang,
yeah, away. Those are... Stevie Ray used that type of Leslie, too.
Yeah,
the Fender Leslie, but it was that front projected thing. It's not like the wooden ones like Joe Walsh used, the classic.
Right, Leslie. Yeah, the 147.
Yeah.
So we're coming to the end of the show, but for those of you that are lucky enough to go to NAMM, I just thought I'd mention Big Joe Stompbox is at booth 5398. 5398. Mm-hmm. If I remember, they're usually against a wall.
Yeah. What hall?
I think they'll be... They got a new place. So.
Oh, really? So a different one.
You know, that sounds like B.
Is BBE with G&L? Should I look up G&L's
booth?
They
are not going to be at the show.
What about G&L?
No. We're going to do, for dealers, we'll have some tours at the factory, but it'll only be for dealers.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Cool. So BBE would be the one, or I'm sorry, Big Joe would be the booth that I just... Yeah. Cleared out of my phone, and I don't know what it is.
Also, I want to mention real quick, for more information on Ron and what he sells and stuff, www.morenosales.com. And for Ricky, rickyzonline.com and proguitarsessionsonline.com. Definitely go down there and check what he's doing. It's some amazing. Well, you heard some of the playing, and hopefully we'll get him to play us out.
Yeah,
for the show.
We should, yeah. And then, you know, again, we want to thank Sweetwater. And if you like some of the BBE pedals, Sweetwater sells them. Check
right.
them out.
And thanks to Ron and BBE for giving us some stuff to give away. And we'll let you guys know.
That'll be in 2 weeks.
Okay, let's let Ricky take us out. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next week.